All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Even though it's December the 6th, you can always go to a park. There's all, you know, parks, Indy parks. Our parks are just all kind of things going on. And we got new leadership at the folks that deal with parks. John Williams used to be the star, used to get things done at the Department of DPW. Now he's getting things done as the director of Indy Parks. And Tanya Hussein is the new director of the Indianapolis Parks Foundation. Her job is to go find some money because they never give parks enough money. The city never shows parks any love because every time they run into a budget crunch, y'all the first, they got to cut your budget and stuff. And so, Tanya, you got to go find the money. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Amos.
Glad to be here.
Appreciate being here.
Let me ask you, Director Williams, you've been there maybe now 8-9 months now. What's your priorities for our parks?
Well, our priority really is very simple. We want to make sure that Indy Parks is relevant to the city of Indianapolis and making sure that the residents here have, you know, great amenities, great parks to go out and play and have fun in each and every day. So with that in mind, I've been with staff looking at how we are best organized in our department and looking at how we can work with strategically with partners throughout the community to make sure that we're providing the citizens with the best possible park system that we can provide them with.
And Tanya Hussein, what's the mission? What's your mission with the Parks Foundation?
Our mission is to enhance the recreational, educational, and cultural life of the city of Indianapolis by encouraging support for our park system, whether it's financial support or whether it's partnership, whether it's raising awareness.
How important are, obviously I know the programs that you have in parks, Director Williams, are important. How important is it to keep the cost, those programs where you have to charge, keeping those affordable? And one of the reasons I ask that is there are a lot of Indy parks all over the county. There's a disproportionate number of parks in the older neighborhoods of our city. And those are the neighborhoods, and I just looked at the brand new census data now by zip code that was released today that shows that those neighborhoods are the most financially distressed. So how critical is it, you got these great programs, to keep them affordable for the neighborhoods you serve?
I think it's extremely critical to make sure that the residents, and as you said before, Amos, a lot of our parks are in the central city, if you will, especially the family center. So we are sensitive to the fact that there are individuals who don't have the resources to participate in a lot of programs. So what we try to do is create a situation where we're working with partners to fund, to help us with, supplement some of the costs as it relates to different programs. Notwithstanding, we have a gap, if you will, between how much revenue we take in and how much we actually have to expend to run the park system. So there is a balance that we have to make sure that we strike on a day-to-day basis. But
does this mean when you look at these kind of partnerships that we're going to see billboards in city parks, that we're going to see logos of companies on park benches, on playgrounds, on slides, you know, to try to get the revenue you need to do the programming on behalf of the people?
It's interesting that you asked that question. We recently put out a request for information, and really what we're looking for is just ideas. And that can run the full gamut of things. We currently do have relationships with groups that put their name, if you will, on a park in some respect or another. So that wouldn't be alien to what we do, but we want to make sure that we have the right mix of ideas that are coming in so that we can provide the best service that we can.
Walk me through this idea that I'm hearing about to make Tarkington Park kind of a regional park. Because when I first heard it, I'm going, wait a minute, the size of that park isn't as big as Riverside or Garfield or Washington or some of the other regional parks. And I'm going, where are you going to park if you make Tarkington a hot park? People are going to be going up to the Pence's and trying to park up at the Pence House up on 46th Street. What is this new mission for Tarkington Park?
Okay. Actually, it wouldn't be considered a regional park as much as it would be considered a park that has amenities that are probably not as traditional as one would think in a park that size. So we're talking about, you know, adding a new dog park potentially, and using artificial turf so that you know, you don't have to worry about the grass being torn up, and it takes a lot of resources to keep that grass maintained. So that would be a different approach to what we've done in the past. A small amphitheater type setting there where we can have different events that would take place, working in consortium with the farmers market that takes place up there, building shelters so that they can actually have shelter for those kinds of things. And as far as parking is concerned, currently we have about 40-some parking spaces that are inside the park.
Right.
We're looking at taking those parking spaces outside the park mm-hmm. and carving into the park property on the perimeter and adding to the parking, which will yield us probably in the neighborhood of 150 parking spots. So we would never look at it, per se, as an area where we're trying to draw 2,000-3,000 people to a destination.
Okay.
We would look at it more like, hey, this is a great amenity that we have in the city of Indianapolis.
Tanya Hussein, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the goals the foundation is trying to do is provide the resources necessary to enhance parks that we have in our older neighborhoods that may be kind of run down is the word, but I don't want it to sound that negative, you know, to really kind of brighten up the park. Is that a fair way to say it?
It is, yes. That's a definite goal of ours. The underserved and the parks that need a little – I've heard the term, I'm relatively new, but I've heard the term overloved. Some of the parks that have been overloved and need some refreshing. Yeah.
Where do the little mini parks fit in? The parks that like occupy maybe a vacant lot or two that got turned over, donated to the city, named after, you know, great citizens that gave back to the community. Where do the mini parks fit in to Indy Park service plan? I mean, we got the big regional parks. Where does little neighborhood stuff fit?
Good question. Recently, we internally as a staff we launched My City, My Park, and it's with that thought in mind. The smaller park properties that, quite frankly, it's going to cost us something to maintain.
Right.
And we want to make sure that those parks are relevant to the community where they sit.
Right.
So My City, My Park really is about working with whether it be a community-based group or whether it be a business to take some ownership of that park and help us refresh them. So we do that currently. I've charged staff with being more proactive in doing that. So next year, we're going to really get out there in the community. And I had an encounter with an individual who's minority. I'm not going to mention his name, but he owns a business, a small business. Right. And when I asked him, when we bumped into one another, he said, well, let me know if there's anything I can do for you, John. I said, well, why don't you do a day of service? And he's like, oh, wait a second. I don't have that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the construct of a lot of folks in the city is like, you have to be a Lily or a Citizens or someone to do a day of service.
Mm-hmm.
And when I explained to him that, it doesn't take that kind of resource.
Okay.
25 people, maybe $1,000, or even a couple of $100 can refresh some of these smaller parks. And he's like, wow, well, we can do that.
Let me come back to minority vending. The city's been somewhat successful across several mayoral administrations in terms of minority vending in the parks. The golf course example is a great example of that. You now got the zip line, the Eagle Creek zip line, trying to bring the Super Bowl fun out to Eagle Creek. But one of the things you all are looking at is getting the private sector involved, you know, to maybe providing services, whether there's a snack bar or other things in the park. Where are you all in that process? And B, where would minority-owned businesses fit in?
Again, that's a good question. Right now, there are a few requests for proposals that we're constructing now.
Right.
Janitorial, obviously, is going to be a big one, and we've been successful in having minority vendors in that regard.
Right.
The after-school programs, the summer-serving food programs, those are opportunities as well. And recently I met with Greg Wilson, who runs our minority business development, and was strategizing with him, just talking about, well, how do we get other folks in the community involved in the kinds of contracts that we would probably let in the Parks Department. So we're developing a strategy where we would educate the public as to the kinds of things that happen or transpire in the Parks Department.
On amenities, is there a way, because I know the swimming pools were open, but they weren't open at the part time of the summer, and then they closed early before the kids completely go back to school. Is there ways to figure out to make sure all the pools open when the bulk of the kids are out of school and all of them are done when the bulk of the kids are going back to school? Because there was a kind of an overlap where it looked like some of the big pools were open first and some of the pools in the hood open later.
Okay. What we actually did was looked at the balanced school calendar for all the schools in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And the schools were open, the pools were open based on the balanced calendar.
Right.
And we actually opened up a couple of the inner city pools, even though the schools were not open at that time. But mm-hmm. we knew that we would be able to draw patrons to come to that pool because we track the zip code of kids, okay. where they're coming from.
Right.
So we did strategically look at that, and all the pools, quite frankly, did close at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Where, because one thing we had heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, we had heard there were problems getting lifeguards because the lifeguards were in high school. I'm going, where's some of them college lifeguards or some of them adult lifeguards that aren't in school but who could pass the background check and do that?
Yes, and that is always going to be a challenge. A lot of the students that we have are, quite frankly, in the IPS school district.
Okay,
so
okay.
that was a challenge for us. I have three sons. All mm-hmm. of them are above the age of 21. And what we pay is a challenge for some individuals who may need more money than what we're capable of okay. giving them. So
all right.
that's always going to be a challenge for us.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. You may have questions for the director of Indy Parks, John Williams. No, he doesn't look like the guy that conducts all the Star Wars movies. But he's more creative than that guy. And Tanya Hussein, the head of the Indianapolis Parks Foundation, 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more tomorrow. Oh, we've got all kind of data. We'll show you. Oh, wait till I tell you how unritzy downtown is. You think that downtown, you know, is all the high rollers that live downtown and they're earning a gazillion dollars? That ain't true. Some of the lowest incomes and highest poverty rates and highest unemployment are in the two zip codes downtown, 02 and 04. We'll have details about that tomorrow and other stuff when we share with you the census data by zip code just released today here in the Indianapolis area. Monday, Scott Pilaf, the new Democratic leader of the Democrats in the State House of Representatives, 21st Century Scholars, will be here next Tuesday, the BMV next Wednesday, and a week from today, Glenda Ritz, the new superintendent of public instruction, live. More with Indy Parks and the Parks Foundation after these. All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoon's name is Natanya Hussein. Parks Foundation does a lot of fun things, but the City County Council has infinite wisdom. Gave your institution the hot button, the hot potato, and that's the community crime prevention grants. Where are we in that process?
Well, we are finishing the administration of that grant through June of this year,
mm-hmm.
But the funds have been awarded through a committee.
Okay,
and then we are no longer handling that grant.
So you done got out that business. Where'd it go? Somebody else has that.
I don't know if it's landed. I think that I don't know that.
So the community is now hearing for the first time from you, this is the first time on the program, that you all will have no further responsibility for the community crime prevention grants.
This was before my time,
right.
yes.
And it was a decision of the council to give you that responsibility.
Yes, and it was a decision of the board to finish the administration through the end of.
Done your service, and now you've sent that on its way. Is someone else can have that responsibility?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well that's good to know because I think people may be listening and they hear the name Indianapolis Parks Foundation. And I wanted to bring it up, and I appreciate the clarifications. And we know you don't have to deal with them kind of questions. Let me go to the phones and start with Bobby. Hi there.
Yes, I have a question. Can you tell me why was the Park Department employees combined with DPW and their salary lowered?
All right.
Well, I was not in the Parks Department at that time, but I was a part of DPW, and that didn't fall up under my direction. But I know a little bit about what had transpired. Part of it was just finding efficiencies and as far as across different departments is concerned. As far as the salaries are concerned, my understanding was that by being part of Local 725, they actually, in the long term, are going to have a greater salary than what they did when they were part of the Parks Department.
When they were Parks Department, mm-hmm. were they unionized employees?
Yes, they were.
And now with being in Indy, they're still unionized employees?
They're still unionized employees.
All right. So if there's a concern about the wages, go talk to the union.
Exactly.
And it's in collective bargaining. All right. Correct. Let me move on to May at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, how are you?
Fine.
I'd like to ask a question
mm-hmm.
concerning Washington Park.
Okay.
There has been water that's all summer long. You know, they were talking about the mosquitoes and what happens to you if you get bit by one. this water sits right in the back side of Washington Park, where you go in the back door, and it just sits there. Now, it's sitting there now, and all summer long, if it rains, it doesn't seem to, the earth doesn't seem to take it in. And we've called about it, but it's still sitting there.
Is it closer to the 34th Street side on the back end of the park, the east end of the park, or the 30th Street side?
30th Street side.
Is this over by the family center?
Yes, it's right at the family center where it's, I'm a senior, so we go there for recreation.
Yes, ma'am. And so you see in the standing water, and you just want to make sure none of them West Nile or other weird mosquitoes come out of there.
You got it going on. And we're seniors, and you know, seniors getting bit by mosquitoes.
That's a very good point. Director Williams?
That's a good question. Now, unfortunately, I haven't heard anything about standing water. I know that down where the basketball courts were, the outdoor courts, we were doing some work on the parking lot. We were resurfacing parking lot so that, you know, quite naturally we could have had some pooling of water during that process. But on the hill next to the family center, I haven't heard anything about standing water, but I will check into it and I will be able to get more information.
Yeah, because right now, if there are any mosquitoes there, they're dormant. You know, they laying low because it's cold out here now. But, you know, maybe get ready for spring if that water still stand there, you know, vomit to death with mosquito stuff. That's a great question. May appreciate it. Let me go to Victoria, 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi there, Amos. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Thank you for having the Parks Department on. I called you this summer about my daughter at Kennedy King Park receiving, she was a supervisor receiving regular lifeguard pay. She was a one-man band over there and did her best she could to give back to her community. At that time, the director or person there with you, he was just new into it, so this falls up under a different umbrella. But it was a lot of hand-picked, my neighbor, my friend, and a lot of prejudice going on. And she just stayed. You know, I had called you mm-hmm. on that when you was asking what happened at Garfield Park. She knew it was a chemical spill right off the bat by untrained guards that were just picked because Susie's friend had a friend like that. They were not trained. And she stayed. You know, I asked her to please stay. And it almost crushed her to feel that prejudice-ness, you know, and blend in with just regular people, you know, to keep that park calm because they train children 2 to 10 for the day camp.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, her position was took. It was jerked from her. She was like a supervisor at the 3-year time of her lifeguard stay. And, you know, I just appreciate the change. Because I had called you that summer when you said, what happened over at Garfield? She knew it was a chemical spill.
I understand.
By untrained lifeguard.
All right. Well, let me let the director respond.
Okay. With regard to the question of, you know, unfair treatment, I can guarantee you that, you know, I will make sure that everyone gets an equal opportunity. That's just who I am. And making sure that we look at the best and brightest, the most qualified individuals that we can, and certainly, you know, everyone would get their day in court, so to speak. So I'm sorry that that happened. Of course, it happened not while I was there, but I'm mm-hmm. sorry that that happened. As it relates to the Garfield Park incident.
Now, there was a decision made or a fine levied. Are you all mm-hmm. appealing that or?
Actually, let me get to the Garfield
okay.
Park, and then
right.
I can speak
okay.
to that a
okay.
in a second, Amos.
Okay.
Garfield Park, it actually was something that happened that it could have happened to anyone. Mm-hmm. It could have happened. In fact, it's happened in the country probably more frequently than people think. It happened through what we call a process of backwashing, where you would close a valve and then backwash the system, which you should do on a daily basis.
Kind of like you're flushing the system.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then you would open that valve back up.
Okay.
There were some controls that we didn't have in place, mm-hmm. quite frankly, mm-hmm. that helped, you know, precipitate what happened.
Right.
It wasn't a chemical spill. It was a mixing of chemicals because the valve itself was not open. And I'm glad that it wasn't, because if it had been open, it would have been probably a more serious situation than what transpired.
Mm-hmm.
So we have changed our protocol as okay. far as the backwash procedure is concerned. And we've also gone down that path of addressing what IOSHA says that we need to address with regard to some of the safety issues that were apparent over there at the park. So those are things that we're in the process of doing. Yes, we have worked with IOSHA to address specifically the areas that they had concern with. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, we don't have any fees that are pending.
Okay.
But if we don't take care of what we need to take care
of. So it's one of those things you got, you know, so it's one of those things from Indiana Occupational Health and Safety. Either fix this. If you don't fix it by time certain, we giving you a bill.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Because I was worried about where you know, if y'all had to pay something, where we going to have the money? Because we broke as a city. And I'm just trying to, you know, make sure everybody got the money that they got to do what they need to do.
Yeah.
What's the, from both of your perspectives in our remaining moments, what's your challenges as director? I mean, you're going in, we're going into 2013. As you go into the new year, what's your challenge at Indy Parks?
For me, you know, the biggest challenge is when you look at a system this size, mm-hmm. it's a large system. So we have a lot of competing interests.
How big a park city compared to other big? I mean, we're the 11th largest city in terms of people. We're one of the largest cities in terms of land. Mm-hmm. Where does our park system fit?
It's really hard to determine. Oh. We have 207 park properties.
Okay.
Of that, we have several that have facilities on what we call family centers or nature centers. Mm-hmm. And then we have a lot of properties that are like Spades Park is 31 acres right. of basically green space. So mm-hmm. it runs the full gamut. And if you try to compare that across parks throughout the country, there are a lot of particulars. So you won't always get to comparing apples to apples.
Okay. Each system's unique.
Exactly. And because of that uniqueness and because of Indianapolis being what it is, it is a challenge because we have to attend to the desires of all the residents of the city of Indianapolis. So bringing that together and making sure that with the resources that we have available to us that we're getting the greatest bang for our buck, that's going to be a challenge for us.
And Tanya Hussein, in 2013, what's the biggest challenge for the Indianapolis Parks Foundation?
Well, it's the same thing. 207 parks. We love them all. They all need something. Picking making the decision on what we're going to prioritize, and we're going to focus probably on neighborhood parks mm-hmm. and focus on the priorities of Indy Parks, but there's just so much need. I mean, we could fundraise and would not.
And Director Williams, you talked about because we're coming up on the Martin Luther King holiday, which is not only the Martin Luther King holiday this year, not only Inauguration Day, but it's also Day of Service. So you're saying smaller organizations could do their Martin Luther King Day of Service or weekend Day of Service in Indy Parks. You don't have to be a multinational corporation.
You don't have to be a multinational corporation. You can, if you want to be an individual and come out and spread mulch at a park. We would love for you to do that.
How do they interface with y'all?
Well, there's a couple of ways. One, they can contact the Parks Foundation. I mean, we've worked with them, with corporations, or as an individual, they can call our office at 327 Park if they want to get in touch with us and let us know what their desires are with regard to helping us out.
And Tanya, you're saying the website of the Indianapolis Parks Foundation is indyparksfoundation.org. What's the regular phone number?
860-3251.
Wait, 60 what?
860-3251.
Okay. And then with Indy Parks, it's go to indy.gov and click on parks.
Yes, indy.gov/parks.
Uh-huh.
And you can find all the different parks that we have. We have numbers for each one of those parks if you want to contact the park manager there. And they'll know how to get you in touch with the individuals who are responsible for the days of service.
You know, and Chris, you know, because we lock it every time we go out on the road. See, Chris gets mad because he gets to get stuck here. So we have to figure out a way to, you know, go do the show from an Indy park. And then that we make that the excuse that, you know, that's Chris's day in the park. So we'll have to work on that for 2013. He is the new director of Indy Parks, John W. Williams.
Yes,
the
sir.
W makes it important.
John
W. The good W. John W. Williams and Tanya Hussein, the director of the Indianapolis Parks Foundation. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you. You know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa, and all that good stuff.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate being on your show.